Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hour number two, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you. Michelle Knezevic has headed over to the Titans facility for locker cleanout. We hope to hear from her a little later in the show with some audio. And so Derek Mason has joined us, of course, a part of Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up at 11 o'clock. Also, Mike Vrabel going to speak at 11:30, so looking forward to that. D-Mace, what's up, my friend? How we doing?
Hey, what's going on, Chaser? It's a beautiful Monday morning.
It is. It is. But you know what? Here we are. And we're talking about the Titans and the season being over. I want to see if you agree with something I said earlier.
Okay.
Because I said they basically I sat there after the game and I was disappointed because the whole game, they're just stringing you along. You know, I mean, it's like my love life. They just string you along and then they break your heart at the end. And you know, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, they might actually win this thing. No, they're not. Come on, Chase. You know better. You've been down this road before. You've been burnt. You know. You know what's going to happen. And then they lose. And after I took a little bit and I kind of processed it, I thought, you know what? I'm not that surprised. They've been showing you all year that this is what they were. They showed you week one that this is what they were.
Exactly.
They could not finish. That they could give you 45 minutes. But they couldn't give you 60, you know, at times. And that was the story of their season, that they just couldn't close it out. And that's what happened. And, you know, I don't know exactly what Jacksonville is. I think Jacksonville will win this weekend. Mm-hmm. I do. I think they will win a playoff game. But the Titans, to me, all these warts have caught up to them. And now, now they have to address it. So what do you think? You agree with that?
Yeah, this team was ahead 13-7 at half. And customarily, the Titans come out after half, and they don't play so well. Well, what do you expect to happen? They didn't play well in the second half. The defense did, but the offense didn't show up. The Titans, like Denny Green said, the late Denny Green, they are who we thought they were. I don't know why anybody expected for this team to be any different. If it quacks like a duck, walk like a duck, look like a duck, it's a duck. It's nothing else but a duck. And don't try to turn into a swan or a dove or a pigeon, whatever. It's a duck. Duck do duck things. And the Titans did what they normally do. They play a good, solid first half, which they did. And then the second half, they're non-existent.
Yep.
The defense always come through. First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. It doesn't matter. The defense finds a way. It's from an offensive standpoint. And we can't sit here and say, well, they didn't have this guy. This guy wasn't playing. That guy wasn't playing. They were healthy, with the exception of the quarterback position. And I don't put this on Joshua Dobbs.
No.
Josh played a really good game. If he doesn't get hit from the blind side, and if he doesn't get rushed into throwing a deep pass, those turnovers may not occur. So don't look at it and say, well, if we'd have had Ryan Tannehill, it probably would have happened the same way. A strip fumble and an interception. Why? Because you didn't have enough time to follow through on your throw.
Yep.
So don't sit here, people, don't sit here and say, well, we didn't have our quarterback. You're right about that. But the quarterback that was replacing him did a really good job yesterday. He did a really good job last week. You can't put this on him. Yes, we can find things that he may have done wrong. We can do that. This is a guy that's only been in this system 17 to 18 days. So there's going to be some mistakes made. But, you know, if we're just putting that to the side, I thought the kid for being here only 17, 18 days, he did a really good job. He gave them an opportunity to win. He kept it close. Well, the defense kept it close, but he did the things necessary to help this team win a ball game. And their problems continue to show up. Things that they can't do anything about. Now, you could put this on John Robinson because that's what a lot of people are going to do because John's not here no more.
The roster's his fault.
But damn it, it's not all his fault. This roster was put together by two people, the head coach and the GM. 2 years ago, everything was peachy creamy, and everybody was giving them nicknames, being
Ray
together.
Rob.
Exactly. They're joint to the hip. Now, all of a sudden, these problems are occurring, and you want to blame the person that's already out the door. Damn it, I ain't going down that route. This is a organizational problem. Mm-hmm. This is everybody's problem. It's not just John Robinson's problem. You can put it on him that he's no longer here. You can do that if you want to. But the head coach had some say in these draft picks as well. You can't just give him – you can't say, well, the head coach, he the one that drafted Jeffrey Simmons. He the one that drafted Kevin Byard. He's the one that drafted Derrick Henry. No, they drafted them together. And the problems that they were having – they were having the whole season showed up again in Jacksonville. The offensive line, guys not making plays at, you know, when they needed to make plays toward the end. The same old problems that we talked about, special teams. The same old problem that we talked about during the season, the first 17 games or 16 games. That 17th game, it showed up again.
So on Dobbs real quick, and this is way on down the checklist, but I'd bring him back and let him fight for the backup spot. And honestly, he has the backup spot over Willis right now, if it's me being honest with you. But I'd bring him to camp. I got no problem with that. I think he did fine. I don't think he's a starter, but I'd bring him to camp, you know, for sure. See what you got there. But again, way on down the list. Vrabel's going to speak in about an hour and 25 minutes. I don't know how many of these questions are going to be answered, but these are the questions on my mind. Where is he in the chain of command? How much power does he want when it comes to personnel? I don't think he's going to answer that, but I think he should be asked it. What does the offense look like? Who's calling the plays? I mean, hell, you can just come out and say it. Are you keeping Todd Downing?
Yeah, I think that's...
And he may... He could open and go, Todd's not going to be back with us, and then that's answered. I struggle with it because, I mean, I think you should move on from Downing. What I struggle with is I wouldn't be surprised if they don't, and that bugs me. Craig Aukerman is another one. Special teams, you know this better than anybody because that helped start your career. This team, to me, has just almost ignored special teams. I just don't get it. Can't find the right return guy. You know, kicking is okay. So-so. I mean, at least he hit one past 50. That was big. But Aukerman's one. Keith Carter, the offensive line coach, I kind of put that in the, it's not all on him and it's not fair. Mm-hmm. But, Derek, you know this. This
it
league ain't fair.
Nope. It's not fair at all. There's going to have to be some evaluations of this coaching staff. And if he chooses to keep everybody on the coaching staff, then that's what he's going to do. But when he does that, if nothing changes, then, you know, he has to expect that he won't be here after next year.
Yeah.
So whatever decisions he make, you know, in the next couple of weeks or in the next month, those decisions will ultimately dictate whether he's here after next season or not. Basically, right. I would, because if he chooses to keep Downing, okay, fine. That's your coaching staff. You know your guys. But if this offense doesn't get better, then you are on the hook for it. Look, I charted this offense for the last 3 years, and they've gotten worse the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
From a point standpoint, from a total offense standpoint, from a passing standpoint, from a touchdown standpoint, from a rushing standpoint. Each year, this team has regressed.
This is the comparison I'll use. When Arthur Smith took over, now LaFleur had it for a year. That was the first year of Vrabel. So let's just, the offense as a whole, they get that thing, and it's not a Corvette. Mm-mm. Let's just put it that way. It's a 03 Mustang that's been sitting in the garage for about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Doesn't run. Needs some work on it. Maybe older than 03, but, you know, just bear with me. And Arthur got it looking pretty good. Mm-hmm. Arthur got it shined up, got it humming. You know, it wasn't a Corvette, but you know what? It was a pretty good car.
Yeah.
It was all right. Wheels are falling off again. You got rust. Rust is bad. Rust is bad for a car. Because you get a little bit of rust, and it could become a big problem. Well, that's what's starting to happen. And I've seen two head coaches come through here and get fired because of their loyalty to the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't happen right away with Munchak, but Chris Palmer, what a god-awful hire that was.
Mm-hmm.
You hire him, and then Dow Loggins, at that point, I don't know what he was, but they didn't have much of an offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't have much to work with. And then Malarkey was loyal to Terry Robiskie, and that got him fired.
Mm-hmm.
Vrabel, to me, is not getting fired now. But I think to your point, if he continues to be overly loyal to his staff, it could cost him. And that's why he needs to go ahead and make this move. The other thing is, and again, I don't think he's going to have the answer to this today.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sticking with Tannehill? Are you sticking with Henry? Are you going retool, rebuild? Mm-hmm. You know, what his thought? I want to know what his thoughts are. Again, whether he answers it or not. That's up to him.
Well, whether I can't see this team. What is it? 2023. They're supposed to move into the stadium in 2027, somewhere
six or
around
seven,
there,
yeah.
26, 27. I can't see him unless he gets assurance from the owner that, listen, if we do this, if we go with a complete teardown, or, you know, if we go with a renovation, let's just say that. If we go with a massive renovation, that you're going to allow me the time to see this through and see how it looks afterwards. And if that's going to happen, then I can do that. I can, in good faith, do that. But if that's not the promise, then why in the hell would I want to do a renovation, a complete renovation, like a huge renovation? I need to keep my quarterback if I'm going to win. Joshua Dobbs is a good quarterback, but is he a starting quarterback? I don't know. And right now, where this franchise is, you can't deal with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
You got to have a definite at that position.
The problem is Well, let's talk about this coming up next. I'm going to tell you where I see a little bit of an issue with this. Derek Mason's with us the rest of the hour. It's Chase and Michelle, presented by Hair Club, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I'm still getting used to that. Chase and Michelle. Derek Mason is with us, though. So it's Chase and Mace. Right now, Mike Vrabel coming up a little over an hour from now. Michelle has headed over to the facility. We might hear from some players coming up in just a little bit. But taking your calls and your texts at 615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Before, we're also going to talk to Jonathan Hutton coming up in about 10 minutes or so, get his thoughts. But I want to get your thoughts on Jeffrey Simmons, too, before we get you out of here. But what I was going to say about Tannehill, if because, one, I'm not a huge proponent of a full-on rebuild because it works sometimes, but then a lot of times it doesn't. I mean, yeah. A lot of times you're rebuilding for a long time.
Exactly.
I mean, just look at teams that, you know, have been rebuilding for a very long time and don't quite get there. So that's one thing to consider. But they do need to address quarterback of the future at some point. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's Malik Willis. I could be wrong, but I don't think it is. You bring in a new offensive staff, maybe a new QB's coach, because that's another one. Pat O'Hara, I'm not mm-hmm. giving him a pass either, because you've said it, mm-hmm. that they haven't developed quarterbacks in this system. So, you know, maybe that's something that is looked at. But if they've decided that he's not the guy, if you bring back Tannehill and you bring back Henry and you retool the offensive line and maybe add a couple more receivers, then you're not going to be able to draft that guy. You're not going to get a Caleb Williams or a Drake May or one of those QBs in next year's draft class.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something you're going to have to consider. But you don't have what's next after Tannehill. So that would be my only concern about it.
Well, as we sit right now, and unfortunately, I did all this work yesterday and then ran out the house.
It's on your desk.
Left the book right on my desk. As it sits now, the Titans have the 11th pick in the draft.
Yep.
But you know who are ahead of them? The Indianapolis Colts. Yep. And the Houston Texans.
Yep.
And the Jacksonville Jaguars already have their franchise quarterback, so they think, and he's proven to be everything, all of that, and then some. The problem here is if you can't move up in the draft to get one of these quarterbacks, then why are you even thinking about releasing Ryan Tannehill? Because everybody in your divisions here's the sad part about it, and the unfortunate part is that everybody in your division will have their franchise quarterback by May. Every team in your division will have their franchise quarterback by May, except you, unless you're saying that Ryan Tannehill is your guy, or you thinking, hey, Malik Willis is he's the franchise, and we get him straight.
But Tannehill's not a franchise.
I understand
guy.
That. But every team, Jacksonville, Indy, and Houston, they will have either they have now or they will have their franchise quarterback.
You really trust Indy to do that, right?
this is what Ursay wanted. Yeah. This is what he wanted. He wanted to be in a position where he can get his franchise quarterback. Well, Houston, I think one reason they probably fired Lovie is because they won the game.
I know.
All you had to do, Lovie, is lose the game. That's all you had to do.
And he goes for two.
That's why he got fired. Because you went for two when we had an opportunity to get our franchise quarterback. And many believe it will be Bryce Young. Yeah. Rightfully so. They still have an opportunity because Chicago, from what we've seen, they don't need a franchise. Fields is their guy.
Chicago is in a wonderful position.
Exactly.
Right now, because they're just like, they got a separate phone that's just sitting there going like, all right, what y'all want?
All the calls, come on in.
Hit me up.
Messages, everything.
Slide in them DMs. You tell me what you're going to give me.
Well, the Titans, they need to figure this out. Either they are going to do what is necessary to move up in the draft to get their guy, which to me is going to signal to everybody they're in a rebuild. If they go out because in order to move up in ahead of some of these teams, in that they're going to have to get at least to number five, six or five to get their franchise quarterback. Because if they don't, you got to be afraid someone else is going to try to jump over them. If they say get eight or nine, move up two or three spots, then you run the risk of somebody getting higher than you that needs a quarterback as well. So you need to get in that top six to potentially get your guy. If they don't, then why even make the trade? But if you do, you're giving up some big pieces. You got to give up some pieces to get that high in the draft. What are they willing to give up? What they're willing to give up will tell me exactly where what they're thinking moving forward. If they're willing to give up big name guys or draft picks, high draft picks, which they're going to have to do, then that's telling me this team is thinking more so about how it will look 2 or 3 years from now rather than right now. If they can't and they go with Tannehill, which I think they should,
yeah,
and surround him with more talent, then that's telling me they're thinking about the now and the later. Now and later, did you get it?
Yeah, I like
candy.
That.
Yeah.
Well done. And people want to put your duck comment on a shirt. So 615-737-1025. Let's go to LD. He wants to weigh in on the Titans. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. So I believe, and I could be mistaken, but I believe I've heard Vrabel in the past mention that he would take fundamentals over talent, right? But if Bobby doesn't have as much talent as Johnny, it seems to me that it's harder to win, right? You need more things to break your way. So I guess my question is, and I know we like to blame position coaches for failures, but if the talent isn't there, especially with this team's injury history, and you get into your depth and your depth talent isn't there, and even some of the starter talent isn't there, how much can you truly blame position coaches? I know they have their failures, but how much can you truly blame those guys? When, I mean, honestly, with the Titans team, you can probably name starting talent on both sides of the ball, possibly on one hand, maybe two hands, but I'll let you guys speak on that. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks,
thank
LD.
You, LD. Appreciate it. I understand what you're saying. And, you know, you're right in a sense. Like, let's just look at the roster and, you know, with what you have to work with. But we've seen guys get fired over less.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, just like it's the player's job to go out there and perform at a level that's satisfactory to the team, it's also the coach's job to coach in a fashion that are going to make these guys better. It's not, to me, for me, it's not about this offense being a top five offense. That would be great. It really would be. Or a top 10 offense. It's about making progress each and every week in an offense, making progress each and every year. You know, in this league, incremental progress is not good. There needs to be some things I need to see. I can't see these little small things, you know, that nobody, you don't see the guy how hard he works in practice and all.
Right.
Yeah, I understand that. I get it. But is it translating on the field?
Right.
And that's, you don't see him in a weight room. I get it.
I don't see Ty Downing behind.
Exactly. I don't see Ty Downing. But is it translating on the field? Whatever y'all doing, is it then translating on the field? Yeah. Since he's been coordinator?
And the answer is no.
So I understand what the caller's saying. He's right. The talent. But I don't see, you're supposed to take the talent you have, whether it be Tom Brady or it be Joshua Dobbs. You take that talent and you develop it. Or Malik Willis. You take that talent and you develop it. I'm not saying that Malik Willis is Tom Brady or ever will be Tom Brady. But there was someone when Tom Brady, when he first got drafted, there was someone that worked with him. It was mm-hmm. him too. But there was someone that worked with him, that taught him, that helped him understand the NFL game.
Yeah.
And you saw him get better each and every year. You saw that offense get better each and every year. Then he became the GOAT. He wasn't always the GOAT. He was somebody nobody knew about. That's who he was first. A seventh-round draft pick out of Michigan, which I hate Michigan. A seventh-round draft pick out of Michigan. That's who he was at first. But because of the coaching, because of his determination, his DNA, he became the GOAT. Okay? I can see him getting better. I don't see this offense or people on this offense, young people, getting better each right. and every week. With the exception of Treylon Burks and Chigakonkwo. But you know what those two guys had already?
They already had it.
They already had talent.
Yep.
They can go out there. Now, what I need to see, if you're going to keep this coaching staff, they need to get better.
Right.
Next year, they need to be better.
Dog is important.
Exactly. But D-A-double-G.
But it can take D-A-W-G. You so far. You got to have some development along the way, too. We'll get to Jonathan Hutton in just a second. A couple of news and notes around the league. Falcons defensive coordinator Dean Pease has informed players he's retiring again, per source. He did that here. I think this is now the third time he's retired. But at 73, he's retiring again. The Broncos are requesting permission to talk to Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn. I think his name, I've seen Raheem Morris out there. And Bill Belichick has told everybody he will be back for a 24th season as the Patriots head coach at 71 years old. So Belichick planning to come back. And the Browns have fired Joe Woods, their defensive coordinator. So some news and notes coming out around the league. We'll talk to Jonathan Hutton coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you. Michelle is talking to the players right now. I know David Long has told reporters he does want to come back. He likes the locker room and the culture within the locker room, so he wants to come back. Let's say hello to Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. Hutt had fun last night with the post-game show. Where basically it was just a complaint fest about everything going on with you and Chad. But what are we expecting to hear from Mike Vrabel today? Because I think there's probably a list of 10 at least questions that are burning on everybody's mind, including where he fits into the whole power structure of things now that they don't have a GM. If he had a hand in what transpired and John Robinson's firing, if he wants to have more roster control and more power within the organization, do you think that's going to come up today?
Chase, good morning. No, I don't think it comes up today. I don't think Vrabel's offering things like that just, offhand, right? I think chances are the exit interviews are taking place. They're still ongoing. While they're going, I think he'll hit on the issues and personnel and certain execution of plays, play callers. I doubt they get to a podium today and have anything definitive one way or the other. And I think that's probably a strategic move where he talks today and then we don't hear from him until the combine. In a setting like today, I'm saying we'll see him when they hire the GM. I would expect. I don't think Vrabel, Chase, to answer your other part, had behind the scenes a role in this. I really don't, and I don't understand why. If you believe that, you're also buying into the fact that Vrabel had something to do with the timing of it. And I think while it's not the reason why we saw this team end on a 7-game skid, it certainly plays a factor in the mindset and mentality, not just of the locker room, but the organization as a whole. When you, on December the 6th at 7-5, fire the GM and everyone's asking questions and you don't answer any questions until a Friday after that Tuesday morning firing, which, by the way, took place over a phone conversation. From what I understand. And, you do that on a Friday, and then we still haven't heard anything until today's comments at the website about their process moving forward. If you're Vrabel, I don't think you get involved with that because, one, it's a distraction. It's pointing fingers. It's, everything that they, despise as far as keeping the focus and the next man up mentality. That was the opposite of that, to be sure. And consider any coach that got involved like that in December from the veterans who were buying in, despite the fact that the backups aren't that good. That doesn't earn you much respect. Vrabel's got way too much of that with the players. There's no way he would have signed off on the move when it happened. And I don't think there was a massive disagreement by any means that led to the decision to happen when it did.
So I'm with you that I don't see a scenario where Mike Vrabel, we're talking to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick 360, gets up to the podium and goes, we're firing Todd Downing, we're firing Keith Carter, we're firing Craig Aukerman.
Yeah.
That's not his style. But I I am kind of wondering what that's going to look like, because, I mean, the Browns have just released a statement. They fired their defensive coordinator. You know, other teams do that, that they say, hey, we're moving on from this. Dean Pease has retired again. So, you know, when Shane Bowen leaves to be a head coach, look for him to come out of retirement and come back. but you know, it kind of worries me that if we don't get any type of statements or hear anything from Vrabel on that subject today, that it's getting closer and closer to he's not making those staff changes, and that concerns me.
Well, so surface level, I'm with you on what you just said. If John Robinson remains the general manager, there is something to be said, though, for and Vrabel's going to be included in the process of the next hire of the general manager. And I think they've made it pretty clear they want a general manager with personnel decision making type control. Right. I haven't heard anything that leads me to believe Vrabel wants the full control, like everyone initially alluded to. And when I say full control, the Belichick model, right? Yeah. There are people behind the scenes, but it's him. I think there will be someone in place as they begin these interviews that, you know, meshes well with him. And that's whenever they start including him in the interview process and get him with these guys, because that's all got to pair up. And I think before you, and I'm with you on getting rid of some of these coaches that have not produced, starting with Todd Downing. But you can easily say, well, let's see the direction of where we're going and the plan in place, and then let's go get the offensive coordinator that's going to fit where we're turning. They can stay on the same direction, but they may take a different path or exit in their player acquisition. You know, they can certainly do that now. And I would want the OC fully involved in that. But, I mean, if you know Downing's not the guy, the owner's already told everyone, if you have figured you're getting rid of someone, go ahead and do it. So maybe he steps up and says that today. But for whatever reason, I'm not expecting it. And I'm like you. I wouldn't hate to hear the idea that they're trying something else at offensive coordinator. I said last night on Sunday Sports Central, Chase, if you're telling me that on December the 6th, you can go ahead and say, hey, John Robinson's not the guy to rebuild the roster again. We don't want him touching the roster again. I don't know how you look at the results of this offense from Todd Downing over the last 2 years and think, you know what? In the rebuild and the retool process, he's the guy we want calling plays.
Yeah.
I think we have enough evidence on that.
Yeah, you're right about that, Hutt. You know, I'm going to get to the game in a second, but, you know, this organization, where do you think they should go in regards to how the personnel is going to end up being? Should they do, I called it sort of a remodel, a massive remodel, not a teardown, but a massive remodel with this team moving forward? Because to me, you sit at the 11th pick, and if you can't get inside that top six, then you're not going to get the quarterback that you want. Every team in this division will have their franchise quarterback, except the Tennessee Titans, at this juncture. So where do you think they will go, or where do you think they should go moving forward?
Mace, good to hear you, man.
You as well.
I was like, hang on, is it Wednesday? I'm thinking like – I'm sticking with Tannehill right now, and maybe that's unpopular, but looking at options, I don't see an option that keeps you as competitive as Tannehill can in the immediate future. I'm out on Malik Willis. I don't think we have to debate whether or not he needs another offseason of production, especially given the fact that his best asset is running, and for whatever reason, even with the inexperience, they didn't want him running all that much because they wanted him to throw from the pocket and throw it, period, whenever they could actually not hand it off to Henry. I'm sticking with Tannehill, and I think that's where you're going, is it starts with quarterback. And I'm also not opposed to drafting for the future and development like they did with Willis. And I wonder where you come down on this. I would consider Hendon Hooker Josh Dobbs has earned the backup role from what we've seen in 2 weeks of play and 17 days, really, with the team. And Mace, I'm you know, not trying to make it the Tennessee Titans / Volunteers roster by any means, but Hendon Hooker has the injury that would it requires him to essentially have a redshirt year. I love the makeup of the kid. And, I mean, he's going to be, what, 25 whenever the NFL season rolls around. He's going to be older than Joe Burrow. Or right at it, probably, right at the same age. So I only say that to say I think he can run a style of offense that kind of fits this mold. He's a Ryan Tannehill-type style, or you know, and not exactly, but I think you know where I'm going with that. And, you know, I think this – this system and this model, this franchise would be a great spot for him to jump in and take a year and figure things out and get within the playbook of hopefully what is a new offensive coordinator. So I think you can do both. And due to the injury, I don't think you have to spend a high pick on him either. I think that could work out. And he's just one example of ways they could go, but I'm sticking with Tannehill. It doesn't have to be at the same price. But you can rework a contract this offseason that fits better within the books.
Well, I mean, Hud, I love your thinking, but I don't trust it from this standpoint.
Okay.
Because if he still brings back the same coaching staff, then
yeah.
I don't think they're going to be able to teach this young man, whoever they draft, whether it's Hendon Hooker that has to sit for a year because of the injury or anybody else, that's going to develop this young quarterback into a starter. They haven't developed a quarterback since you know, the last two quarterbacks they've had or last three they've had that they've drafted, because they've drafted, I believe, two or three quarterbacks since this coaching staff has been here. And neither one of them have been developed. So much so that you let Woodside go because you said he wasn't better. You felt that Malik Willis was better than Woodside at this point. So to me, you didn't develop Woodside. You're not developing Malik Willis. I can't trust you under this circumstance to develop the next guy coming in.
Yeah, and they, you know, they part of the development is just while you're – I think it – to me, the biggest, like, question mark I had with it, with Willis playing, is just – just be open to the fact that the guy's very limited in what you're willing to let him do. Let him take off and run. You know, like VY is rookie year, won offensive rookie of the year, not because he was throwing it all over the place like Justin Herbert, but because they allowed him to run that style that helped produce wins. He was a rookie year coming in off the bench and producing wins. And they went on a nice streak. I don't know if Willis is capable of that or not. He certainly couldn't run a 2-minute drill very well whenever you and I were sitting there watching training camp. But the idea that you're bringing him in but not to develop him, to me, is just stupid. I don't think that's something they would sign up for. But I agree. We haven't seen development at that position behind Ryan Tannehill. So point taken with what you're saying. But I do have to say, if in these interviews that are going to take place and you're presenting your plan, you've got to talk quarterback and it's got to start there. And you have to pair that with a defensive-minded, run-in-the-trenches mentality that is Mike Vrabel-type football. He preaches, don't turn it over, don't commit stupid penalties, and run the football. He always mentions those things. It starts up front with their identity on the offensive line, and the quarterback needs to be able to step up and make big throws like Tannehill did in 2020 with A.J. Brown and Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith.
Yep. Well, so many questions to be answered, Hutt, and hopefully some of them start to get answered today. We will see in about 45 minutes, but appreciate it. As always, we'll be listening to 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan, and also on Wednesday when you join Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys, and have a great week.
You too. That is Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, joining us. Seen some quotes from some Titans players. You'll hear from some coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason here with you. Ryan Tannehill is speaking now. John Glennon is pointing out he'd love to be back. Quote, we'll just see what happens. You knew that was going to come up. I was wondering if he was going to speak. I was hoping he would. Seeing some quotes of locker cleanout. I know that Josh Dobbs has talked. Kevin Byard has talked. Byard has said he wants to be here his whole career. He wants to retire a Titan. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Simmons said that he definitely wants to stay. He wants to re-sign. But he did mention, don't want to play on that fifth-year deal. He'd like to get something done. So read what you want to into that. I think they sign him this year. And whether you're renovating or rebuilding, retooling, whatever you want to call it, Jeff Simmons is a guy you need on this roster. I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but his impact – did you hear him the other night, his after the game?
I saw it briefly, him at the locker, getting emotional. So I saw it briefly. I didn't see the whole thing. I watched maybe a couple seconds of it.
Okay. Well, I think we have it because I want you to hear this, because I thought in that moment when I heard this emotion in this clip that this is a guy I want in my locker room and I want to build around.
On a game like this, obviously it's tough. What would you say you learned about yourself and teammates?
We fighters, man. Me personally, I'm battling through so much, man. I've been shooting my ankle up since week 8, man. These guys in the locker room, man, I love them. No matter what, I want them to be on that field. I don't know what, I mean, I figured out this whole season what I could do to get better, but like I said, you guys meant so much to me, man. I just wanted to be on the field, hurting. I didn't care. But, so I'm a fighter, man. I'm a warrior. I'm going to give it all to my guys because that's how much I love the game and this locker room, man. So I appreciate these boys so much, man. We'll find a way next year to be better as a team, and we're going to figure it out.
See, I appreciate emotion like that, Derek, because that's real. That's as real as you're going to get. And not that I thought there was a question that he wanted to be here and that the Titans want him to be here. He did say today that he doesn't think he needs surgery on the ankle, but that's a guy you build around. You want guys like that. In the locker room. You want guys like Kevin Byard. The only reason that we've talked about Kevin Byard not being here is just if you're truly going to blow it up, you build around young players. Mm-hmm. And Jeffrey Simmons is a young player that you build around. Kevin Byard isn't at this point. But you want guys like that in the locker room. I mean, you were one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the loss – it was devastating from a sports standpoint to Jeffrey Simmons because, you know, like he said, listen, I've been shooting up my ankle for the last 7 weeks just so I can be out here and do my part to try to win ball games. And obviously it didn't happen. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, he wants to be here. But I know this league and money talks. Everything else is just silence. Everything else you do is just silence. If you want him here, you will pay him the money. But I think what Jeffrey has to understand moving forward is this. He wants to be in this locker room. He wants to be there for the guys, but he got to take care of himself.
Yeah.
Because to me, yeah, you go out there and you play the remaining 7 games. And you would probably do it over again if you had to. But you got to look deep down and say, did they get the best of me in those 7 games? You know, did shooting that ankle up help or hurt me moving forward? Because I'm going to tell you this, Titans ain't going to look at that and say, you know what, let's give him some extra points because he shot his ankle up and played the remainder of the games. They're not going to do that. From a negotiation standpoint, they're going to look at it and say, well, hell, you were a beast the first six games of the season, seven game, and then after that, you just dropped off. Yeah, I knew you was injured, but we're negotiating now.
Right.
So, I mean, we need the leverage that we can get so we don't have to pay you what you deem you deserve. And you deserve a lot of money.
I know this is tough for the NFL sometimes, mm-hmm. but sometimes you just need to do the right thing.
The NFL ain't about doing the right thing.
I know.
99.9% of the time.
I know.
Now, certain situations, yes. Like Hamlin, what they did with Hamlin, yeah. that was absolutely the right thing. And to pay that man the remainder of his salary, even though he was on IR, was the right thing to do for the NFL, the NFLPA, and everybody else. That was the right thing. But when it comes to stuff like this, the NFL typically don't do the right thing.
Well, I can tell you how they can make this easier on themselves. Mm. Let's see. Bud Dupree, you buy.
Yeah.
It's a $10 million dead cap hit. You'll save about $7 million. Taylor Lewan, $14 million, no dead cap hit. Buy. Mm-hmm. Woods, you'll save a ton of money there. I think the dead cap's like $2 or $3 million. Cunningham, same thing. Jamarco Jones, Randy Bullock. See you, bye.
Yeah, and then you see if you're going to keep Kevin Byard, see if you can rework the deal. He's reworked it before. See if you can rework it again just to keep him for another year or two. You know, so you're going to have to make decisions with this ball club moving forward. But while you're making your decisions, you're going to have to take into account Jeffrey Simmons because mm-hmm. – who's to say who's to say they are going to want to sit around for a rebuild or a retool or whatever you want to call it? Who's to say they want to sit around an extra 3 or 4 years for you to then become a great again or become a good team again? Now, it may not take that long. I don't know. But what if it does? Do you think that a guy like Jeffrey Simmons is going to want to sit around on a mediocre team? He's not.
No.
So whatever you do, you got to think about the players you want to potentially keep because there are going to be a lot of people that – and he doesn't want to play on that fifth-year deal. I'm sure he doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
So you're going to have to do whatever you need to do to try to get him signed.
I think they'll get it done. I
don't know. We said that with A.J. Brown. We said it with A.J. Brown. They're going to get a deal done, and they didn't.
We'll see. All right. Well, that's it for me, but D-Mace obviously is going to stick around. Caroline Willie and D-Mace coming up next. Mike Vrabel at the bottom of the hour. They'll have full reaction to the Titans season coming to an end. That's next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.